The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say amongst the people, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach amongst the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made you to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, restless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, and kindness, and the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by fruitful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through the honor and dishonor, though slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and not well known, as dying, and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet make us rich, as having nothing, we yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 18th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with the disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. On those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me? This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to do your good works before people to be seen by them. If you do them, your Father in heaven will not reward you. So when you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be praised by people. I tell you, that's really all the reward they get. When you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Whenever the reformist John Wesley would go to one of his small group meetings, he always started every meeting with the question, "How is it with your soul?" John Wesley was an 18th century Anglican preacher. He's the founder of the Methodist Church, and he focused on holiness and life. And he really enjoyed forming small groups of people where he could go just amongst a few, but he would always ask the condition of their heart. Tonight we begin the season of Lent, 40 days without counting Sundays. That's where people say, if I give up chocolate, Sunday's okay because it's not part of Lent. That's getting legalistic and cheating. But Lent is an intense time of self-reflection and introspection. Boy, am I having troubles with English language tonight. Lent removes all the distractions of life and gets to the very core of our souls. The word heart doesn't carry the same weight as it did in the Bible. The Bible, the word heart is used 1,000 times. So it's a word that's pretty important. The heart is an image for a deep level, deeper than our perception, intellect, emotion. As a spiritual center of our total self, it affects all the things that we see, think, feel, and will to be. Another way to go into Lent is to have a spiritual practice. Pick a psalm, just any psalm, and read it each day. Or pick a dozen of the Proverbs and read them. Some of them are actually quite humorous. Anyway, meditate on their meaning. Fasting and praying have good biblical roots. Throughout the Bible, it talks about people fasting and praying. Patrick Wilson, a commentary author, wrote, "God gives us the good gifts of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, so that we may draw near to God and we anxiously transform them into performances." We got to be careful that when we give up stuff for Lent, it's not all about the show. See how good I am? See how much I suffer for what I gave up? Those are the very people Jesus was talking to when he gave his Sermon on the Mount. Their lives were a show to the people around them. And this is mainly talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, but it's applicable to us today. They would make a big deal of how much money they put into the offering plate. Now, that'd be the equivalent of today if somebody, instead of using their offering envelope, took a $100 bill out of their wallet and put it in the plate this way, so everybody behind them could see exactly what they had given. Or long, lavish prayers. I think it was Bernard de Clairvaux. Nobody liked it when he would come. He was an archbishop. Would come to the local parish because they would have a meal and he would pray for 2 straight hours. Now, ladies, how do you keep food warm for 2 straight hours in the day before ovens? But those are long, lavish prayers that Jesus is talking against. Giving up stuff for Lent can be about ego and not God. There's a story of a Sunday school teacher who wanted to impress on the kids the difference between kindness and loving kindness that God shows. So she asked her class, what did the words mean? Little girl raised her hand, the teacher called on her. She says, well, kindness is when you ask your mother for toast and she brings it to you. Loving kindness is when she puts peanut butter and jam on the piece of toast. Sometimes children have a better understanding of biblical principles than we do. 1 Corinthians, Jesus said, I came to be served, not to be served. He realized that the greatest impact that he could have on people would be to serve. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. The word kindness means being constructive. Love, therefore, is constructive. It builds up others with words of encouragement or actions. If you're a person of love, you desire to speak words of encouragement and blessings in other people's lives. You neither do it straight to their face or in their absence. It seems like we've accumulated so much in this nation that we've forgotten where we're from. Just to give you an idea how much we have. Do you realize America does not need to import one drop of oil? We have enough in this country to completely supply all of our needs and tell the Middle East, "Nyeh." Then we have the mighty rivers to transport goods up and down the rivers. We have minerals. We have iron ore in the ground. We have enough to be totally self-sufficient. But sometimes then we forget where we're from. Ronald Reagan was interviewing people for an ambassadorship to England, which is one of the premier sites that people want to be an ambassador to. And when the person would walk in, he had a globe in front of him. And he says, "So where are you from?" And the guy would point, he'd been in this nation or this nation, but then he would point to England and say, "That's where I want to be." Then Reagan would dismiss him. Finally, he got one man who came in, and Reagan asked the question, "So where are you from, son?" And he says, "Well, I'm originally from heaven, but I hope to go to England to serve for a period of time." Reagan hired him on the spot. Because we are but strangers here, pilgrims in this world. Heaven is our future home. Notice how many of the hymns in our hymn book mention heaven. The great hymn writers seem to be focused on the idea of longing to go to heaven. Billy Graham once said, "What is heaven going to be like? Just as there is a mystery to hell, so there is a mystery to heaven. Yet I believe the Bible teaches that both are literal places." And this is the great line. "I am not worried about where they are because I know where Jesus is and he told me to meet him there." Do you know what the number one genre of books sold? How-to books. And Christian books lead the charge on the various how-to books. How to build up your faith, how to be a better Christian, how to be a better Christian parent, how to be a better Christian spouse. It seems like they're almost using God as a sales pitch. We strive to be better here, but we don't long for heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye that has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Lent humbles us. It seeks to get our hearts back to right in the right place. When we start looking around, we start to see the treasures that's in our hearts. We start to see the sin that is there as well. We see the things that separate us from God. And Ash Wednesday, we begin to break down those walls that separate us, and it's a complete mess. The cross that Jesus had to suffer and die for us, for our sins. We burn palm branches, or that's usually a tradition, is to burn the palm branches from the previous Easter and use the ashes to remind us that we are but ashes, and to ashes we will return. But it's also meant to show us it was on the cross that all of our sins were paid for. So when you wash it off later, you're washing away the sins that Christ paid for. Ashes, as I said, ashes reminds us of our final journey to life's end. The prayer in the psalm says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," expressing our desire to get our hearts in the right place and humbly asking God to help us in that task. In these 40 days of Lent, may God put a new and right spirit within us so that the treasures we have in this world, indeed our very hearts, might also be with the Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.